We're a part of the kingdom of God because we celebrate at Christmas week after week so many things that are so beautiful and so important to the faith. And I really believe that one of those is the fact that Jesus came as a child. It's significant. Now you're going to find that in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be a little basic, but I hope in the basic message of these next couple of weeks that your hearts would be changed, that your minds would be adjusted, and that you would see what it means to really live in a childlike faith. Well, if you got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Isaiah chapter 9 and go to verse 6. We're actually going to skip around a little bit today, but we're going to start here and go from there. So once you have that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Now, this is really long, okay, so get ready to stand, because I know you all are full of turkey and stuffing and all that mess. Starting in 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." God, today, help us in this time. Help us to see. God, help us to see with spiritual eyes the significance of you coming as a child. We give this time to you. We pray against the enemy and his plans and schemes. And we ask that you would come in power and in might. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm going to talk first. I'm going to break this up into three sections, the middle section being the longest. The first section, I'm just going to cover two things that I think is pretty basic but significant. I don't know about you, and you may have kids or not have kids. It doesn't help it, or it doesn't matter. But I would say that I really love children. Now, I don't hold a lot of children because I feel like I always have a lung infection, and so I don't want to give it to them. You know, they're little, and so I'm either coughing, sneezing. If you saw, I just went and blew my nose, so don't shake my hand afterwards. But anyway, I haven't had a chance to disinfect. But I just love babies. Right now, and it's going to go by really quick, isn't it? All of a sudden, it came over me last night at a wedding, and the daughter was dancing, and I just felt like, you know, we got to have more kids. It'll pass really quick. And so she's got like a small window to see her goal of 6 children fulfilled, but because it washes really quick because I'm like this. But anyway, children are just innocent. I mean, think about infants. They're sweet. They're really just completely reliant on those that care for them. It's why our government has put in a system to make sure that children are properly cared for, and when they're not, they're pulled out, because they really can't be an advocate for themselves. An infant doesn't come out and advocate for itself. Interestingly enough, the Lord chose to come as an infant. Now, why is that significant? Well, we see all through Scripture that he is not an infant without power, without might, without ability. But what we know about infants is they come really only knowing what's presented before them. They have no limitations. They have no known idea of fear. They have no idea what hate is. They know no shame. They only know what's before them. And I really believe that is the beauty in infancy. It's always hard as a parent when you begin to see the moments where kids start to say no, they start to be disobedient, and you begin to have to kind of mold and shape and transform and speak into. But man, the time before that is just so innocent and so beautiful. I miss it. I miss those moments. I always say, like, I like that you could take them for a long time in their carrier, and you just put them where you want them. Isn't that nice? And then all of a sudden, it changes, and they go where they want, and that changes your whole life, and so especially at your first one. But I want you to think today that Jesus came as a child, an infant. He took everything, left it, and came. Now, here's the problem with that, is that most people were expecting some type of full-grown warrior to come in. Yeah, Lord of the Rings. I love Lord of the Rings. It does have like some spiritual, you know. But I want you to think about this. In that day, remember, children were not thought of in a high regard. And so people were expecting this tremendous warrior to come onto the scene and to change everything. Now, there's a lot of problems with that theory, with that philosophy. Had he come in as an adult, a warrior, how would he relate to our growth? How would he relate to us as humans? How would he relate to us in a way that we could say, you know what, Jesus has been there. See, today we can say Jesus has been there. And so the people of the day really wanted a warrior. And you know what? I think still today we want a warrior, not a child. I think today we want to say to the Lord, give me a warrior-like mission. And Jesus is saying, if you'll just remain a child, I'll remain with you. And so, two things to start out this morning. And again, a review, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. If you got your Bibles, we're going to skip around a little bit today, do a little sword drilling, but John 1:1, I think it's a scripture that most of us know pretty well, right? Just say yes. We're in first service. Y'all better just say yes, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, so let's review a couple of things here, why it's so significant that he came as a child. The first thing is the infinitely powerful became weak. I mean, think about it. Jesus is noted all the way from the beginning as being a part of the creative work in Genesis chapter 1. He was there. He was present, meaning he was a part of that incredible, I don't know if you want to call it magic or whatever you want to term it as. It was incredible, and he was there, and he was a part of that. His power was present. He was present in the garden. But what's amazing is that there was a choice made to come down as a baby, meaning all that Jesus had, he said, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to be subjected, submissive to becoming an infant, not being able to. And we have quite a few in here today. Little Liam's over there. Henry's up there. Yay, are there more? There are more, but they're that way. I want you to think about this because I just want you to understand how significant this is. And I think as we come through this, I want you to understand what it means to you in your faith journey. So if you look at Genesis, if you got your Bibles, I don't normally do this, but we're going to jump around today. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, there's a significant moment. We just learned about this in Sunday school. We kind of flesh over it. But if you remember when the fall kind of happened and they decided to step away from the words that God had given them, and they took fig leaves and they put the fig leaves on them, and then we see the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and them and that discussion and then all the cursing and all that was going to happen and the changes that were going to happen. Here's what's so beautiful, and we skip over most of the time. Before the Lord sent them out of the garden, he clothed them. Meaning Jesus knew something that they didn't know. He knew that those fig leaves were not sufficient for what was to come. And right there, we see the heart of Jesus in Genesis chapter 3. And so what does he do? He takes skins. In fact, scripture tells us that they were well clothed and taken care of once they left the garden. Interestingly enough, an infant is what? They have to be clothed. They have to be cared for. They have to be given sustenance. They have to be given life. They have to be given food. They don't have a way to make it on their own. Children require care. Jesus, let's be real, never required care, but because of you, decided to go and receive care. He actually was a caregiver, and we see that. And why did I take you back to Genesis? Because I want you to get that Jesus is an incredible, incredible figure, and said, hey, I'm going to go be vulnerable as a child. So for the first time in history, Jesus became weak. Y'all like being weak? Isn't it crazy when you get sick? You could be doing really well the day before. You get sick, and what happens? Your bones get... Are y'all awake? Are you sick right now? You kind of look a little sick, a little like... your bones get achy. You don't start feeling good, and all of a sudden, your energy's gone, and you're weak. And here we see that which was never weak, that never experienced. Scripture tells us that this is the first time ever that he became weak. And so he came... And he became weak. See, and here's the thing. So in this first point, what I want you to really get from this, and we understand what it means to be weak, we also understand the scripture that says, we become weak so that he can become strong. And church, it's in our lack of weakness that we become strong and he becomes small. See, there's a lot of significant reasons why he came as a child, really evident ones, but a lot of it's about him understanding what it means for us to remain in kind of a childlike form and attitude, always growing. So, first question today is, are you weak? Do you recognize your weakness without him? Church, we got a lot of church people walking around in their strength and in their might. And Jesus, by coming as a child, tells us, remain weak. Here's what's great about children, and I hope this is true, but I'm amazed every day it's like they learn something new. We look back on pictures a year ago, and I'm like, what happened? They have grown. They have changed. Their speech has gotten better. They understand stuff. And see, when we understand what it means to stay childlike in our faith and remain weak, we are forever allowing ourselves to grow, to be molded, to be shaped, to be changed, to be adjusted to the likeness of Christ. All right, the second thing. The wonderfully majestic became humble. Now you say, church, you're probably saying, Pastor, you always talk about being humble and humility. I think it's the greatest enemy of the church. It's the greatest enemy of the mission of the church. We rise up, the church rises down. We rise up, I mean, it's just the... So when you think about wonderfully majestic, you've got to think. I mean, I think about this. Think about the moments that Jesus stepped in the Old Testament. I think one of the greatest moments, and it's a simple, really a simple Bible story that we're taught as kids, he steps into the fiery furnace as the fourth figure, and he protects. Now, there's a lot of theology behind that as well. But man, it's tremendous to see that all that power and all that placement, he gave up to be humble. In fact, here it tells us having or showing a modest or low estate of one's own importance. Having or showing a modest or low estate of one's own importance. Why is that significant? Man, if you're a believer today and you really understand who Jesus is and he released all of that to come as an infant, to be subjected to having to be subjected to someone else and their care and their love and their. Think about the humility that it took to do that. See, most of us would say, well, I'm Jesus. I've been here before you all even know. I've done things you can't even fathom. I've knit together things you don't even understand. And yet in all of that knowledge, Jesus agreed to become humble. A childlike state we should remain in. So, If Jesus can humble himself, can we humble ourselves? The third thing, as a child, the eternal Son was in a state of submission to the will of God, the Father in heaven, and also to the guidance and rule of his parents on earth. Pretty interesting. Now, if you think about it, and we talk about this a lot, and I think it's important for us to kind of just rehearse at Christmas, we understand that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit who entered into Mary's womb, but there was not a union between Joseph and Mary, and so that allows, right, original sin not to be present, and so there is a difference in our birth and his birth. But in all of that, no matter how it happened from the beginning, he made a decision in his mind and heart to say, I will be subjected to your will, Father, and I'll be subjected to the will, to the plans, and to the guidance of Mary and Joseph. Now, in our humanness, that is difficult. In fact, probably in my marriage, wouldn't you say that's the hardest part? Right? Is hearing, seeing, and understanding the other person. Hearing and seeing and understanding their heart. And at times stepping back and say, you know what, babes? You're right. You know what? I'm gonna step into what you're saying. I get where you're at. Here's what's crazy. Is Jesus stepped down and said, I am yours. He said, I am yours to the Father, to Mary and Joseph, and to each and every one of you. So, he only had one option. Y'all like that when you only get one option? Whew. I talk about this all the time, but we don't really shop anymore. We do most of our shopping online, and we pick it up and stuff. And we went to Hobby Lobby, and every year we get a little ornament for all of our kids. And I don't really enjoy it, so I kind of walk around. Well, I ended up going out. This is how long it took for the four children, not Janae, for the four children to pick an ornament for this year. I went right, this is the total truth. They went in there, they were picking ornaments. I said, I need socks, as I don't wear, if you know me. I very rarely have socks, but I'm always cold. And so I went down to Gabe's. You know they have cheap socks there, right? You do not know that? Anyway, they have cheap socks. So I went down and bought $20 worth of socks. It ended up being like 50 pairs. And then I come back down, and the Hobby Lobby door is open. Actually, I went back to the van thinking, like, they have to be done by now. And then the door is open, and there's Mimi and Papa sitting there. And then they are still in there picking their ornaments. And I'm like, what is going on? Just pick an ornament for them. Well, you know, they get the ornament, they walk away, then they want another one, and then they want the white ballerina, not the pink ballerina. And, I mean, it just becomes a whole thing. We're used to so many options. Here's the thing. Jesus said, I'll go to one. Think about it. The fingertips of Jesus had access to so much. And he said, I get it. I get that these kings are not enough. I get that it's time to come and redeem the people. And he said, I'm going to go down and be subjected to Mary and Joseph, to your will, and redeem the people of the world. So he had an option. The infinite, eternal, self-sustaining being who created every atom in the universe and put them in all their places became dependent on the nourishment of his mother, Mary, whom he knit together. Church, we only have one option. If we understand the words of Jesus, which challenges us to be childlike in faith, we have to allow ourselves to continually be weak, which is not what society tells us, to continually be studying and evaluating our humility, and then understand what it means to be submissive to the will of the Father. So then we get to something interesting. So I only added one in. Each week we're going to add another name in, and I know we've studied these, but Wonderful Counselor. Y'all love to sing that song, right? Like awake. I feel so dead up here. You're good? Okay. I know I feel 20 pounds bigger, but I don't know about you. Wonderful Counselor. Literally, the wonder of a counselor. Now, why is this significant? Well, we know And I believe a lot of people don't understand this. In fact, growing up and having a lot of relations with the Catholic Church, I was always amazed at the times that my family would go and go before the priest, and they would still do that, and they still do it today. And they would go and confess to the priest, and then they would say to me, like, you've got to one day go. And I'm like, no, I just go directly to Jesus, and then he counsels on my behalf to the Father. And they never really got that because they always felt like it needed to go to someone, and that's the way that, and it felt releasing, and a lot of that's good and healthy. But the bottom line is that here, this word means marvelous, extraordinary, beyond the normal capacity to perform, meaning you can't perform it, so without Jesus, it's not possible. And it's also a divinely spiritual counseling. Well, what do you mean? Well, in order for us to really stay with Jesus, we have to remain weak so that he can be strong. We have to remain humble so that he can be exalted. And then we have to be submissive to his will. And then, you know what he does? He counsels to the Father on your behalf. He goes to the Father on your behalf. In fact, he's the only being that can go to the Father on your behalf. Now, yes, we pray for one another. Yes, we do all of that. But when it comes down to your walk, to your journey, he's the only one that can go to the Father. So the fact is, the act of God's Son coming down to earth as a child tells us that his name fits. It fits. Meaning, if we'll remain like a child and have faith like a child, he is willing to go to the Lord on our behalf. He is the only supernatural spiritual counselor that exists. And then Matthew 18, it tells us this. Jesus tells us, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. So having faith like a child requires putting aside our will, the way, our opinions, our misconceptions, and allowing God to move in a miraculous and incredible way. So a couple of questions for you today. Where do you expect him to be a warrior instead of a child? See, the people were expecting a warrior, and the Lord gave them a baby. What are you expecting of God that he's not doing? And maybe it's not where he is. Maybe it's where you are. Think about it. And I guess the big question of today is, where do you need to be more childlike in your walk? I only have my kids to use as an example, but I'm always amazed at when they're left to their own, the creativity that they have. I'll go outside, hang out with them for a little bit. They're doing something, then go back out, and they've got our chickens wrapped up in their coats this week. I mean, they had them all wrapped in coats. They're carrying them around. I went out this week as well because they were all yelling at each other. And I thought, oh gosh, I got to go out there and break it up. And so I went out to break it up, and they're holding chickens, all three of them, not Janae, holding chickens, yelling at each other. I'm like, listen, don't yell at each other holding the chickens. It freaks them out, which it really doesn't. They set them down, they pick them right back up, and so somehow they're really in love with them. But it's fascinating that, like, they're always discovering, they're always developing their homes, their games. We have a little bit of a strange game going on right now, which they tell us, hey, we're going to go play caseworker. It's because we, you know, have caseworkers in our home and stuff. And so anyway, they go play caseworker, and that's always interesting to watch play out. But my goodness, they're picking up and they're learning. They're picking up and they're learning. They're picking up and they're learning. Church, don't you want to pick up and learn? Don't you want to pick up and learn, pick up and learn? And then just pick up and learn and say, God, I want more. I want more. So maybe today the question is, where in your walk do you need to become more hungry, more childlike, more humble, to say, yeah, I'm willing. And here's the key. When we function less in childlike faith, we inevitably bring about an increased need for people to seek the wonderful counselor. Because see, here's the thing. When you're not living with childlike faith, with a heart that reflects that, you ain't working for the Lord. You're impacting others, and you're making them and pushing them to have to work through things with the wonderful counselor. And so, where's your heart? Many of you say, I haven't been a child in a long time. Me either. But my goodness, there's something about the words of Jesus that are so sweet, so simple, and so beautiful. And just saying, hey, you know what? You know what, God? I am yours. And I want to be weak so that you can be. God, we thank you today. I don't think today in this time, in this sanctuary, we completely understand what it meant for an infinite, incredible, majestic being to decide and be called to say it's time for the first time to be made weak. And you did it for us. And so in this season, I just pray that you would challenge us to be more childlike, more faith-driven, more willing, more agile, more creative, and more careful with our hearts, our words, and our actions. And Jesus, we're thankful today that you take the words that we express to you and you express them to the Father. And today we honor you for that. We thank you for that. And I believe our heart's desire is to remain in line with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Hope that you'll join us for Sunday school.